Amen. Would you turn with me? You can remain seated tonight. I'm just going to read a phrase, but if you turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4, Acts chapter 4. I've been sharing with you on Sunday night my burden for the church this year, back to the basics. When I was still a young child, went to bed feeling okay on a Saturday night. Came Sunday morning, time to go to Sunday school. Dad said, it's time to get up. I slung my legs over the side of the bed, attempted to stand like I normally did, and fell down right on the floor. Couldn't walk. Had a spinal disease. Lost the use of my legs. But I'll never forget, even at that young age, to get me going again, there in the hospital, they'd get me up. And I had to start taking little baby steps again, you know, before the strength came back, before I could walk again. You know, it's that way spiritually. We get knocked down, things happen to us. But we don't need some new thing, new therapy, new doctrine, new religion to get going the way we need to get going. We just need to get back to the basics. Last Sunday night, we shared the challenge of reading our Bibles. And I've been excited by the excitement of the reports I've heard how God is speaking to folks as they read their Bible. This is the Word of God. It's not just literature. It's not a compilation of myths and legends. This is the voice of God. Tonight, I'd like to share the challenge back to the basic discipline of prayer. Lord willing, we're going to have three categories right now. Back to the basic disciplines. We're going to talk about back to the basic doctrines. We're going to have a baptismal service in there, Lord willing. We're going to talk about back to the basic deeds of the church. But tonight, back to the basic discipline of prayer. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, I'm not going to read the story. I'm not interpreting the story. I just want us to notice something that's such an encouragement to me in that New Testament church. I love it. I've been thinking about this all week. The scripture, the narrative simply records, and when they had prayed. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. I don't think anything has changed in the prescription of a move of God since that day. I think the basic thing is still, when people pray, God moves. Would you like to pray and see the place shaken? It didn't say when they'd had an ice cream social, the place was shaken. It doesn't say when they took all the youth ice skating, the place was shaken. It doesn't say when they brought in a special music group, the place was shaken. May not be anything wrong with those things in their place, but there's no substitute for the description we read. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. So the basic premise is tonight that every move of God, every revival has been preceded by people who have committed themselves to pray for that move of God. I'm thinking of history, the many accounts that I've read of revivals in history, and every one of those revivals was preceded by one or several people who committed themselves that they were going to pray until God moved. And that's going to be the challenge tonight, that we would commit ourselves to prayer. The statistics are all over the place. I looked at those, looked at different ones. Some say that on average, Christians in America only pray 3 to 5 minutes a day. I've read where it's 3 to 5 minutes a week. Basic statistics says that ministers, preachers, pastors pray an average of 15 minutes a day. I've seen where it's almost that least amount for a week. But you see, this isn't about the statistics of Christians as a whole in America. This is an appeal to each one of us personally to pray. So I want you to take your own personal poll. The purpose of this is not to reap condemnation upon us. The purpose is tonight that you would challenge yourself that I am going to commit myself to pray for revival. And again, I want to say by sharing this, I'm not saying people aren't praying. It's just a challenge. If you're not praying, it's a challenge to pray. If you are praying, it's just reinforcement and encouragement. Let's do this. Can you say amen? But in our personal poll, ask yourself the question, how much do you pray daily? How often a week do you pray? For what do you most often pray? Now, I'll tell you how I approach this tonight. I really believe this, and I want you to hear me. I think that most Christians want a deeper, more sincere, more regular, effective prayer life. I think if you're here tonight and your heart is right with God as a believer, within you, you have this desire to have this deeper, more effective, consistent prayer life. That desire is beating in your heart. I believe that. Amen. So much can be said about prayer. It's such a huge subject. The different kinds of prayer, the different definitions for prayer, the templates in the scripture for prayer, the examples, the reasons, the results, of all of those things that could be said about prayer. But tonight I simply want to challenge us to pray, and for each of us to take this as a personal challenge to pray and pray more than we ever have. Amen. I want to say something tonight. I don't mean it to be critical, just an observation. But if you are not praying at church, it's guaranteed you're not praying at home. Now, I'll tell you, it is true. You can pray at church and not pray at home. But I promise you, if you're not praying at church with 99.99% accuracy, if you're not one that prays at church, you're not praying at home either. I'm not talking about praying to make a show. I'm talking about in worship and seeking God and praying over the needs and praying in the altar service. Isn't that the truth? Amen. Oh, to pray more. Tonight we're talking about back to the basic disciplines. And I just want to give you at this point a quick definition of discipline. What do we mean by discipline when we speak of this? This was something that used to be very familiar to the church world, and we've kind of lost that. But a discipline, as far as a Christian, a discipline is a habitual spiritual activity one engages in to draw closer to God and to perfect the soul. That's what we mean, back to the basic disciplines. This used to be a very real thing with the church. They knew there was a practice, an exercise, if you please, an activity that if you would habitually involve yourself, engage in that, you would draw closer to God and perfect the soul. And the particular discipline we're talking about tonight to draw closer to God and to perfect our souls is the discipline of prayer. I want to begin tonight with the question, what is prayer? Now, that seems like a simple thing to answer, but it's not. And we could go through scripture and we could talk about all the different definitions of prayer, but I want to be oversimplistic tonight. And thinking of all that I've read and studied about prayer and read in the Bible, I'd like to define prayer tonight this way. Prayer is seeking God. Hallelujah. Prayer is seeking God. Amen. That's why I'm encouraging us to pray. Oh, it's time to seek the Lord until He come and rain righteousness upon us. Hallelujah. It's time to seek the Lord until He feel the hungry and save the lost and heal the sick and baptize in the Holy Ghost and heal the marriage and bring together those that are in all. I'm telling you, prayer is seeking God. Leaving it that simple, I want to give you a few more descriptions of it. I believe prayer is calling on God. calling on God. You see, I said prayer was seeking God because in the Bible, the very first description of prayer, it wasn't called prayer. The very first instant, it is called calling upon the name of the Lord. Here it is. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Genesis 4:26. Then begin way back at the very beginning of the book. Prayer is described as calling upon the name of the Lord. I like that. Because see, in prayer, if we're calling on God, we're reaching beyond ourselves. We're moving out beyond the confines of ourselves. We're seeking one that is higher and greater and beyond. I have found, and maybe I have to speak for myself, but if we don't watch it, much of our prayer, we're not talking to God. We're simply talking to ourselves. How many, just be honest, you'd admit that tonight. You find yourself in prayer, you're not talking to God at all. You're talking to yourself. But I'm telling you, when we really begin to pray, it'll be characterized by this. We are calling on the name of the Lord. And I'm glad to say his ear is open to the cry of the righteous. I'm glad to say his ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. And his arm is not that he cannot reach out. Oh, call on him. That's the challenge tonight. Prayer is calling on him. Only those who see their need of God will call on God. Those who do not see their need of God will not call on him. I've had folks talk about prayer and say, no need to get excited when you pray. No need to get loud. Just speak in a normal voice. I understand what they're saying. I really do. I'll concede their point. But you know, when it gets down to it, I'm going to end up getting excited. I'm going to end up getting loud. Why? Because I'm calling on God. Amen. And when you call, you tend to be expressive. You tend to get loud because you're calling on him. And they say, don't get loud. Don't get use a normal voice. I'm sure, Brother Rose, that's what they said to blind Bartimaeus too. You don't need to get excited. Don't need to get loud. Don't get need to work up. You just using, if Bartimaeus had followed that advice, amen, he'd still be blind. But he began to call on God until Jesus stopped and healed. What is prayer? Prayer is seeking God. Let me give you another expression. I believe prayer is tuning in. Prayer is tuning in. I think in prayer, one of our main goals should be to get in tune with God. What is the mind of God? What is the heart of God? What is the will of God? I believe we should pray for God's will that we might pray God's will. Getting in tune with God. People of today have made prayer like meditation. It's just a catharsis. It's just a way to cleanse the soul. They've made prayer like some kind of manipulation of God or a therapy. But I'm telling you, prayer is drawing close to God and getting in tune with him. To know what he's saying. To hear what he's saying. Amen. Amen. I want to get in tune with God. If I do not pray, I cannot get in tune with God. I can't know what he's saying. I can't know what he wants to do. But oh, in our prayers, to see it is getting in tune with God. God, what is it you're wanting to do? God, what is it that you're wanting to say? Oh, God, I want to be in tune. I want to be able to hear your voice in a church service. I want to be able to know which way the Spirit's moving. I want to know what your will is for to get in tune with God. Prayer is not just calling on God and getting tuned with God, but I believe that prayer is opening up. We're accustomed as we live as adults to pull within a shell, to hide behind a facade, to put up a certain appearance. But I'm telling you, in prayer, you don't need a facade. You don't need to put up an appearance. Amen. You don't need to close in upon yourself. In prayer, you need to open up to God. Here I am, God. I make myself bare before you. I open up my heart to you. Oh, God, I want you to come. I want you to work in me. I want you to work through me. Oh, God, I'm opening up up my heart. I'm opening up my mind. I'm open. God, I'm opened up to whatever you want to do. I'm just going to open. I'm not going to close myself. I'm not going to hold back. I'm not going to resist anything. I'm going to open up. I don't know what all the psalmists had in mind, but he said, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. I believe we just open up our hearts. In fact, we used to sing, open up your heart and let the Holy Ghost come in. Open up your heart. I'm telling you, in prayer, we can start opening up our heart. That's why we can weep, we can cry, we can rejoice. Amen. Because in prayer, we open up to God. And then I believe prayer is pouring out. Prayer is pouring out. One of my favorite verses in the psalm is Psalm 62 and verse 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. I'm telling you, in prayer, you can pour out the disappointment. You can pour out the frustration. You can pour out the anxiety. You can pour out the anger. You can pour out the trouble. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad that prayer is pouring out your heart to God? Amen. Don't hold that in. That will fester. That will abscess. That'll poison your walk with God. It'll poison your relationship. It'll poison your family. Oh, but get alone. I don't care how bad it is, and it may be bad, but get alone with God and pour it out. Pour it out. Hallelujah. So that is what prayer is. The second question is, why? I pray. And each one of these questions, I know I am treating very superficially and simply, but why pray? Number one, because prayer is to the soul what air is to the body. I said prayer is to the soul what air is to the body. I know the word of God may be the food of our souls, but prayer is the air, amen, the breath of our souls. That's why we need to pray. Pray is our very life. Amen. Prayer is our very spiritual vitality. Amen. Another reason we need to pray is because God does nothing but by prayer. I said, God does nothing but by prayer. That's why I'm glad he's faithful. When God gets ready to move, he sets his people to praying. There's been folks that you've been praying because God has moved on your heart, and God is going to move. Why pray? Amen. Because there are things that need to be done that only God can do them. Think of your own life. Think of the church family. Amen. There are things that need to be done that only God can do them. I was praying this morning, Lord, this one's sick. I can't heal them. This person's lost. I can't persuade them. But oh God, you can heal. You can persuade. You can. We need to pray because there's things that need to be done that only God can do. And God does them in response to the prayers of his people. Hallelujah. Next question, what happens when people pray? Hallelujah. Amen. Put very simply, those who pray are those who desire change in their lives. I really believe that. You show me someone that's praying, and I'll show you someone that's desiring the change in their life. If a Christian has stopped praying, it's because they don't want to change. In fact, I believe somehow we Christians understand that if we really begin to pray, God is going to want to change some things. How many knows that's true? We know it. And so taking all that and putting it together, amen, what happens when people pray? Amen, they begin to change. I can say of prayer, it changes me. It changes me. You know, prayer isn't really so much about getting God moving. It's about getting me moving. No, we kind of pray that way. God, move in this service. And I know what we mean. But it's not God so much that needs to move. And we need to move. Amen. Prayer gets me moving. Prayer isn't as much about twisting God's arm as it is about changing my heart. Amen. Prayer doesn't do so much to God, something to God. Prayer does something to me. It changes me. Amen. What happens when people pray? It changes me. But not only does it change me, it changes circumstances. Amen. Brother Leitner, I was thinking about years ago in the 60s, late 60s, when I could remember being over my grandfather's house. Had that little old radio. I still got it. Amen. But he liked to listen to these radio preachers at a certain day. And it's not the one you might have heard. It was his daddy. But there was a radio preacher out of Oklahoma City, Dr. David Weber. And he would come on that radio program. God is on the throne and prayer changes things. I remember that way back as a child. God is on the throne and prayer changes things. It's time to be quiet at grandparents' house. The preacher's on. God is on the throne and prayer changes things. I'm telling you what happens when we pray. God changes things. Hallelujah. Daniel said, oh, God's going to do it. So you can know that there is a Lord God in heaven. Hallelujah. How many believes that we'll pray? God will change things. When people pray, amen, amen, it changes people. It changes people. People with problems. People with rebellion. People that are lost. It's through prayer that God moves and begins to change them. And last of all, I like to say what happens when people praise. Amen. It changes what seems is inevitable. I mean, there's situations that it appears this is just the way things are going to be. There's no way to change it. There's no answer. There's no solution. There's no help. There's no hope. It's just inevitable. This is the way it's going to be. It may be on a natural plane, but I'm telling you, with God, nothing shall be called impossible. It may look inevitable, but we can always pray. Hallelujah. Amen. People were testifying in a church and saying, well, I prayed and God did this. I prayed and God provided groceries. One unbeliever, a critic, he said it was just a coincidence. It was just a coincidence. The neighbor brought by groceries after you pray. It was just coincidence that the fever broke after you pray. The old preacher said, okay, I'll agree with you. It was a coincidence. But somehow or the other, it seems like the more I pray, the more things happen by coincidence. Hallelujah. The more I pray, the more coincidences there are. Glory to God. Put it however you want to. I believe when we pray, God changes what seems to be inevitable. Amen. And then very simply, when and how to pray. Amen. First of all, I want to just say how to pray, when to pray. Be regular. I've tried to teach students over the year, you got a test on Friday. What does more good? To study 10 minutes a day starting on Monday, every day until you take the test, 4 days, that's 40 minutes. Or to study an hour on Thursday night, not study the rest of the week. The truth of the matter is, if you'll study. Don't study, you need to pray, and you need help. If you'll study 10 minutes a day, 4 days, you'll do a lot better on that test. If you need to spend even more time, an hour, on Thursday night. It's that every, years ago, I read that little story about that little farm boy. Amen. He said, I'd like to pick up a cow. You can't pick up a cow. No, he couldn't. But the cow had a calf. And as soon as that calf was born, the very first day, that little boy went out there and he picked that calf up. Next day, went out there, picked that calf up. Calf is growing. Every day, the little boy goes out, picks that calf up. Wasn't long that cow was full grown. That calf was full grown. And that little boy is still picking him up. Why? Because he grew with the cow. Amen. Every day he lifted a little more. His muscles got. I'm telling you, there's some big things out there. But it'd be amazing what would happen if we just devote time every day to pray. Be regular in prayer. Secondly, when and how to pray. Find an uninterrupted time and place. Hallelujah. Someone was telling me the other night, and I understand. That's why I just kept my mouth shut. But someone said, I have trouble falling asleep at night. Have you ever tried, when you're having trouble falling asleep, praying and reading your Bible? I mean, the devil give you warm milk in a hurry. Have you ever noticed when you get down to pray, every ringer in the house will go off if you're praying at the house? Amen. Every doorbell be ringing. I mean, but you've got to find an uninterrupted time and place to pray. That's why so many have found that it's good to rise early before the doorbells are ringing and the telephones are buzzing and the kids are wanting breakfast. Early, early will I seek thee. Amen. My dad wasn't a prophet or a son of a prophet. Drove 35 miles one way to work. But as a child, I knew this much. Every day, Dad got up early enough before work to read his Bible and to pray. Oh, that had an impact on me as a child and to this day. An uninterrupted... Susanna Wesley, she had so many kids in such a small house, there wasn't anywhere to get away to pray. But every day at a certain time, she sat down on a chair, took her apron, and threw it over her head. Kids, leave mom alone. She's in her prayer chamber. She's underneath her apron. It might be men, it might be at work, going out to your vehicle, sitting in your car, say, I'm going to pray. But I'm telling you, we need to find an uninterrupted time and place to pray. Hallelujah. I mean, if a kid can learn to leave daddy alone, he's watching the news. They can learn to leave daddy alone, he's in the back room praying. Amen. Find a regular, uninterrupted time to pray. And then take some things with you. I know this is oversimplistic, but just let me share what's on my heart. Now I can do it just with my iPhone. It's got everything there. But used to, I'd have to gather up all these. But I think a good thing to take with you to prayer is your Bible. One of the ways I like to pray is with an open Bible. Well, they go together, don't they? Kind of like potatoes and gravy. Amen. Bible and prayer. How many knows this is a good thing to have when you're in your... How many's had God speak to you from His Word while you were praying? How many has God direct you to a specific passage? How many has opened your Bible and began to read, and God, as you were praying, began to speak to you? Take your Bible. I think another good thing to take is a song book. Now, these things used to be so common in the church, and talking about disciplines. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to have a song book. You're not auditioning for the choir. You don't care who hears you. How many has ever found that when you're praying every once in a while, if you'll just start singing a song? Hallelujah. Wow, here it is. Trust and obey. I'm praying, God, have your way. And I begin to sing. I'm not going to do it. Amen. I'm not in my prayer chamber. You wouldn't appreciate it. But we begin to sing, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Amen. Now you got an iPhone, there's an app. You can take all the songs you want to with you. Amen. But it's a wonderful thing, a songbook. Used to, I'd say, take a pad of paper. I'll tell you something I used to do. You know, when you get down to pray, listen, if you can't remember what you're supposed to be doing that day, you know, the different things you're supposed to be doing, go pray. Because the devil will be right there and say, you didn't do this and you didn't do that and you forgot this and you forgot that. And what about, how many's ever noticed that? And so I used to take a pad of paper, and when I got to pray, all those things would start bothering me. You didn't do, just write them down. Amen. Get them written down. Amen. Get them on your reminder list. Now you can go back to praying. Don't be bothered by them. But not just a pad of paper for that. But God can speak things to your heart, and you'll think, I'll never forget that. And then you get to be 47 years old, and God has spoken this very wonderful thing to your heart. I'll never forget. That's tremendous. It means so. And you'll get out, and 30 minutes later, you try to think, what is that that God was speaking to my heart? And I'm just, am I just funning, or is it the truth? But if you write it down, what was that God speaking? And you can go back to the pad of paper. You can go back to the memo app. And you say, oh yes, this is what God spoke to my heart. a pad of paper, a prayer list. We provide you one in the bulletin, a prayer list. Just take some things with you. Last question tonight, for what to pray? I think first of all, we need to pray for God's will. I really believe this. I think we spend a lot of our time praying for things that's not God's will to start with. Hallelujah. Pray. Didn't Jesus teach us to begin our prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy what? Will be done. I'm not talking about this benign prayer that says, oh God, now if you want to save, if it's your will to save Johnny or your will to heal and all, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about praying so you could know what is on God's mind, God's heart to do. Oh, pray for the will of God. And this may seem real narcissistic, but I believe it's important. Pray for yourself. I'm not talking about turning inward and being all caught up and stuff. I'm talking about praying for self. I don't know how you feel, and I don't want to get too private here. But you know, I don't feel like my prayers are very effective if I got things that need to be taken care of in my heart. So I start saying, oh God, forgive me of any sins I've committed. And if I know what they are, I need to name them. Amen. Amen. Lord, work in my heart. Change my attitude about this. Lord, give me a more grateful heart. Amen. Begin to pray about something. Lord, speak to me about what I need to be doing. What I mean, pray until you get self where self needs to be. And then begin to pray for others. Amen. We got lots of folks. They have needs. There's folks that are lost. Pray for others. Folks are depending upon our prayers. There's family members that need prayer. Amen. You've had someone like this in your life. But my grandfather, if I was at their house and it was time to eat, the food would get cold because he had to name every kinsperson in the prayer. How many knows what I'm talking about? But you know, people need to be prayed for, don't they? They need to be prayed. Pray for folks. I want to tell you something else. Pray for your pastor. That's me. Pray for your pastor. I never say much about this, but it is true. You've heard others say it. Amen. In fact, you can read about instances in the Bible. In war, you know what they like to do? They like to shoot at the leader. They really do. They like to get him. Listen, I covet your prayers. I covet your prayer. I need your prayers. I walk into situations. I need to know the church is praying for me. Amen. Somebody's lost. This is my only opportunity in the hospital to try to witness to them. I need the prayers. I need prayers in leading the services. I need prayers in the study and in preaching. In fact, not just during the week. I tell you now, I asked this of you several years ago, but right in a service during the preaching. Oh Lord, like this morning, Lord, pastor is reaching for the lost. God, help him, anoint him, give him clarity of thought. Lord, burn in his heart. Amen. Pray for the pastor. Amen. Pray for the leadership of the church. Amen. Pray for those. Amen. Pray for the church. We're praying for revival. Hallelujah. God, send a movement of your spirit up. God, send the fire. Burn up the chaff and the dross. Oh, God, move it away that it sweeps the lost in. Hallelujah. Feels, Lord, let these young people experience a revival they'll never, ever, ever forget in all of their life. I'm telling you, there's lots to pray for, isn't there? Would you come, music? Now listen, I could tell you that Martin Luther said, I'm so busy, I gotta pray 3 hours a day. I could tell you that John Wesley began every day with 2 hours of prayer. I could tell you that praying John Hyde, they called him that because he prayed so often on his knees. He developed big old calluses. They called him camel knees. But all those things just... pretty soon, we're just overwhelmed. So I want to tell you what my challenge is going to be tonight. I want to challenge, and again, I'm not saying no one's praying. I'm not saying that. But I just want to share this challenge. I want to challenge you to commit yourself to praying at least 20 minutes a day. Maybe this has never been a habit or practice. This isn't a time for condemnation. This isn't a time for guilt. This is a time to be challenged. I'm going to pray. I've seen the setting unrealistic expectations. I've seen people get touched and say, I'm going to start praying 3 hours a day. 5 minutes later, they prayed for the whole world, everything they could think of. They've totally emptied out their mind. They don't know another 5 minutes. They get discouraged and quit praying. But I want to ask you tonight, if you commit yourself to just at least 20 minutes a day in prayer. And in that time of prayer, you're also committing yourself to a portion of that time praying for revival at Union Road. So the challenge tonight, I leave back to the basics, back to the basic discipline of prayer. I challenge you to pray 20 minutes. I'm talking about from young on up. How many believes things are going to be happening as we pray? 20 minutes a day. How long does an average video game take?
A couple months.
I didn't mean to design it. I meant to play it. What's the average time young people spend playing one video game? Okay, I should have asked the parents. Oh, it wasn't a parent. 20 minutes a day. And pray a good portion of that time that God would send revival. I'm going to ask one more thing of you. And again, so many are. You'd say, well, Pastor, don't you know it? Yeah, I know you are. I'm just reinforcing it if you're not. But I'd ask for everyone to commit themselves to go to a prayer room before church. Not just Sunday night, but on a Wednesday night. Hallelujah. Now, I know, I understand. Listen, I know there's schedule things. I know some of you, and I so appreciate on a Wednesday night, you work till 6, you barely have time to gulp down food, and I know that. I'm not even talking to those that it's a logistically not feasible. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about, what if we commit ourselves to pray? How many believes, amen, if God's people will humble themselves and pray? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Pray until you pray. We watched a week ago Wednesday night the account of the Asbury revival. And I'm sure you picked up on it. But they were asked, how did this revival start? He said, well, several months back at the beginning of the school year, 6 students committed together to pray 30 minutes a day, to have a time of 30 minutes of sharing what they had read in the Word, 30 minutes of sharing and praying. Came the beginning of that year in January. Someone gave them permission in chapel, and they challenged other students to make a group of 6 that would bind together, commit themselves 30 minutes a day to pray. And then on February, 1st of February, that Tuesday morning chapel service, God came down, and that one chapel service lasted 8 days till the evening of the next Tuesday. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for the hunger, Lord, that's made manifest. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we want to talk to you. We want to call upon you, Lord. We want to tune in, oh, God. We want to open up our hearts. We want to pour out our souls before you. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight, and you may already be doing this, you're just ratifying it. You may already be spending much more time than that. That's great, but you're just ratifying it tonight. If you're here tonight and you take the challenge, you say, I'm going to commit myself to pray at least 20 minutes today, a day, and a portion of that time to pray for revival at Union Road. Would you just come and begin to kneel in these altars and say, I'm committing myself to pray. I want to pray more. I told you I began this. I'm convinced that most Christians, the majority of Christians, they desire a deeper, more effective, more regular prayer life. Would you come? God, I'm going to pray at least 20 minutes a day. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to pray for revival. I'm going to pray for the lost. I'm going to pray, God, Lord, for the impossible to happen. I'm going to pray for the baptisms and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 No condemnation tonight, only a challenge. Only a challenge to commit. Amen. To feel guilty, to feel condemned, that won't get you very far. Amen. But to take the challenge that God is in heaven, and if I will pray, God will hear and God will answer. I'm going to pray. I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. I'm going to tune in to God's heart. I'm going to open myself up to what God wants to do. I'm going to pour out my heart before Him. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.